From the heartland of America, the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. We're going to have open lines for you for the first couple hours tonight. Phone lines are now open, and Tom is waiting for your call. Later on tonight, Zeta Talk with Nancy Leader back after about a five-year hiatus. Well, the third and final presidential debate held tonight, and Donald Trump would not commit to accepting the results of the presidential election if he loses on November 8th. In a striking moment during his final debate with Hillary Clinton that underscored the deepening tensions in the race as the bitter rivals define the choice for voters on an array of issues not 3 weeks from Election Day. Dr. John Curtis has been following this campaign for us since the get-go. Let's bring him in for his thoughts on tonight's debate. John, go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, that Trump sort of held his own, but he didn't need to hold his own. He needed to land a knockout punch, and so the haymaker never happened. And I think that on balance, you know, Hillary, you know, his pre-digested talking points seem to, you know, just like, you know, the other debates seem to sort of carry the debate, and mm-hmm. I think Trump got in some shots, but I think it's an hour late and a dollar short at this point. I think he's, you know, however you interpret polls, and, you know, you have, everybody has to, there's no other predictors other than looking at the polls. And I think ultimately, you know, they've been heading in the wrong direction for Trump. And I don't think this debate helps them. I think, you know, that Trump waged a war instead of focused on Hillary Clinton. It's been on the Republican Party. It's been on the Democratic Party,
yeah.
And it's been on the media. And I think he's spread himself so thin right now that I think that, you know, the campaign is unfortunately running out of steam, because I think that what I think is going to happen is Hillary now looks like she more than likely will win this election. But I think afterwards, when they finally get to the bottom of what happened at the FBI and in the Justice Department, and as they shake out what happens with the Republicans after the election, I think they'll hold on to, more than likely hold on to the House, and probably stay relatively even in the Senate.
Well, John, does Trump have a Hail Mary pass at all in his playbook?
I think at this point, I think the trend is against him right now. I don't see it happening, George, for him.
Okay, John Curtis, track him on onlinecolumnist.com. Howard Bloom, of course, has been following the campaign with us as well since the get-go. Howard, your thoughts on the final presidential debate?
Well, Donald Trump's biggest victory tonight was over himself. It was the first time in one of these debates that he was under control. He used to pace and look like a pouting child with a serious case of attention deficit disorder when he was forced to listen. Tonight, he managed to look serious, even presidential. He didn't do that horrible snorting that led to a rumor about cocaine use. And his self-control would have been a major triumph, except for something that you've already pointed out. When he was asked, when he was told by Chris Wallace that Mike Pence and Ivanka Trump, his daughter, have said they will accept the results of the election, and when Donald was asked if he will accept the results of the election, he said, "I will look at it at the time." And there was a gasp in the crowd, even
yes.
though from previous cheer you could tell it was a pro-Trump crowd. And he said, "I will keep you in suspense." What happens to a stock market? What happens to an economy when you are in suspense, when you have no idea of what's going to happen next? Does that breathe any implication of a coup, of something that goes entirely against the democratic process? And here's where he really lost. Aside from the fact that within 17 minutes of the end of the debate, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, which is a conservative paper, Politico, the LA Times, and the Washington Post all came out with headlines that Trump had not said he would accept the results of an election. Aside from that, he lost Fox News. He lost Megyn Kelly. He lost Chris Steigerwald. He lost Howard Kurtz. All of the people he needs in order to hold on to his base and, if anything, take a few independents. So there are other major details from tonight, but the big loss, the haymaker that you were asking about, that John was talking about, was the haymaker that Donald Trump administered to himself.
Okay, and does he have this Hail Mary pass? Does he have anything left?
I don't think he's got one. You know that the Wi-Fi connection of Julian Assange at the Ecuadorian embassy.
Yep, going to talk with Lauren Weinstein about that in just a second here. Go ahead.
Right. So that could cut off the flow of these emails. And frankly, these emails have not been incriminating. They were only able to find one potential quid pro quo over one sentence out of roughly 100,000 emails. That's not much. That's not enough to take Hillary Clinton out. As Chris Steyerwalt said, the question was brought up to Steyerwalt on Fox News about the effects of possible rigging and possible voter fraud. And he said, well, even if there is voter fraud, when Hillary has an 8-point lead, voter fraud is not going to count.
Howard, we'll talk with you on election night. Let's see what happens. Ecuador's government, as we've been reporting, has acknowledged that it did cut off WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange's internet access at its embassy in London after the whistleblowing site published a trove of damaging emails from Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. I would guess they'll turn his emails back on after the election. Lauren Weinstein, who watches the internet for us. Lauren, first of all, your reaction to this, clipping his internet service, what do you think happened?
Well, I mean, there's some people who are arguing that Ecuador might have been pressured by the U.S., and that's possible. Ecuador is saying that didn't happen. But the truth is that Julian Assange's stock, so to speak, has been dropping so fast with the Ecuador government, even before all this email stuff, that they have really wanted to get him out of there one way or another. It's important to realize that a lot of the groups and individuals who were supporting WikiLeaks all along, and again, I'm talking about before the emails started coming out, are no longer supporting him because he started sending out anti-Semitic tweets.
Yes.
He started dumping databases with a lot of private information in them of innocent people, innocent women, refusing to go through the data first and cleaning out the personal information. And in general, he's started behaving very irresponsibly, even in the eyes of his supporters. So whether or not the U.S. put pressure on Ecuador to cut off his internet, Ecuador had plenty of reasons to do it on their own. So it probably would have happened one way or another anyway.
Now, is Julian Assange the only one from WikiLeaks who can send out information? Doesn't he have a hidden staff someplace that might have internet service?
Yeah, he has you're right. He has a staff, a minimal staff and very close supporters. And presumably they had contingency plans in place so that he wouldn't be completely cut off from the world. How much that'll affect any given information being released isn't clear yet. But I think the big story here ultimately is going to be that Ecuador doesn't really want him around there anymore.
That's what it sounds like.
What are they going to do when they push him out that front door?
Then they're going to come after him. And also your take on the possibility now with the election coming up less than 3 weeks away of some hacking from the Russians, from somebody on our election results. What do you think?
Our election system itself, the actual voting system, though it has flaws, and especially the electronic voting systems have had lots of problems scattered around. Most of these problems are in very small percentages, and as I think your previous guest mentioned, when you're looking at possibilities of wins that are 6, 7, 8 points, those kinds of questions, the technical issues, the possibilities of fraud, they wash out in the noise because they're so small. It's really important to remember that unlike many other countries, most other countries in fact, the U.S. has an extremely decentralized voting environment. Every state, not just states, but every county pretty much runs their own voting system. Different technologies, different counting systems, everything's different and individualized, which makes it almost impossible. Even if you try to go after large cities, they're decentralized, to effectively hack them in any kind of way where you'd know what the results would be. So really, there's always going to be little variations. There's always room for error. We know there's a certain very, very small amount of fraud. But the implication that the system is rigged in some way, you might be able to do that in a country where the whole country is under one voting system using one voting technology. You can't do it here.
No, you can't. Lauren, thank you so much. Amazon.com is considering offering internet service directly to consumers in Europe. That would allow Amazon to bundle internet access with its Prime streaming video offering. making it more competitive with cable operators there, which already offer a similar broadband video package. How about that? Fiat Chrysler is recalling about 310,000 vehicles in two separate recalls involving Jeep Wrangler SUVs, Ram heavy-duty pickup trucks, and Dodge Charger sedans. Just call your dealer, because all the years vary. Call your dealer and give them your model number and your year, and see if you're subject to the recall. While there are growing fears of a European probe that attempted to land on Mars on Wednesday that it has been lost, tracking of the Schiaparelli robot's radio signals were dropped less than a minute before it was expected to touch down on the red planet's surface. Satellites at Mars have attempted to shed light on the probe's status, so far without any success. The Smithsonian's National Museum of Natural History is appealing to help raise $300,000 for the restoration of Dorothy's magic shoes, the slippers worn by Judy Garland in the film The Wizard of Oz, were made almost 80 years ago by the MGM Studios prop department.
The ruby slippers, what have you done with them? Give them back to me or I'll...
It's too late. There they are, and there they'll stay.
Give me back my slippers. I'm the only one that knows how to use them. They're no use to you. Give them back to me. Give them back.
You remember that? The slippers remain one of the most viewed items at the Washington Museum, but age has taken its toll, and they have turned from a sparkling red to a dull brown. The funds raised by the Kickstarter campaign will be used for immediate conservation care and a new state-of-the-art display case designed to protect them from environmental harm and slow their deterioration. $300,000. Okay, for the next hour and a half, we're going to have open lines here for you. Let me give you the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. The wild card line is 818-501-4109. The international line is toll-free, 1-800-893-0903. Skype is open for you at George97313. And we will take your tweets and your texts. The text, you can send it to 818-298-6521. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're going to have open lines for the next hour and a half for you. Later on tonight, Nancy Leader joins us as we talk about Planet X, the Zetas, and so many other things. Haven't had Nancy on in about 5 years, so I'm looking forward to talking with her. Okay, open lines here. Lots going on, of course. I am so glad the final presidential debates are now over. They're in the history book. I'm sure it probably had the highest ratings of all three, probably the highest ratings of any presidential debate tonight, because it was the last one and everybody wanted to see what was going on. But I'm glad they're over. Let's go to the phones. Dave, truck driving in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program, David.
Hey, good evening, George. Love your show. And,
thank you.
Thanks to all your sponsors for keeping you going, buddy.
Absolutely.
Hey, on this voter fraud thing, you know, there's more than one way to steal an election, and there's been people working at changing how the elections turn out for quite a while. 2008, there was cases of voter intimidation in several large cities. And
yes.
2012, you had some more of that, plus the fact that you're going to have a lot of people who aren't actual citizens or aren't even alive being able to vote through various and sundry methods that are underhanded. So I hope that this election will at least shine more light on what's going on and figure a way that we can keep everybody honest. I like the old way they did, where was it, in Iraq, where after you voted, you stuck your thumb or a finger in the purple ink and you could show everybody. So when I get elected president, I'm going to make it a national holiday, one-day voting, none of this early voting and all this other junk that leads to voter fraud. What do you think? A big national holiday, Election Day.
Well, we should have been doing that a long time ago. That's a great idea to give everybody an opportunity just to go to the polls and do it. And I'm not opposed to the old punch card systems. It would take longer. You're not going to get the results in 3 hours after the polls close. But I think it would be safer. You know, we've become so technologically advanced, just about anything can happen. You know, we have Bev Harris on all the time from Black Box Voting, and she's very concerned about tampering, very concerned. Next up, we go to Dave in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, David, take it away.
Hey, George, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Okay, do you mind if I disagree adamantly with your three guests who I know are prominent and I respect all?
I do not disagree at all. That's what the program is, Dave. I'm not here to muffle people.
Okay, I'm a independent. I'm not committed to any party or anything, but for my 60 years on the planet and 40 years of following politics pretty astutely, I believe that Trump overwhelmed her with maybe not as polished and slick of a presentation as her, but everything she was saying has been shown in so many ways from so many angles to be untrue, dishonest, inaccurate, and he made many and very important points that I think are crucial to the survival of our nation. And for the pundits to come out afterwards and your guests and everybody else, it's appalling to me, because I've been to Trump rallies and I've been to Hillary rallies, and the American people are sick up and fed, pardon my slang on that phrase, with the things have been for the last at least 8 years, if not 20, 30 years. And this guy, he's a little brash, but he said everything I need to hear. So I have no doubt. I don't want those people anywhere near the power anymore. And I want to give.
Well, see, I'm not going to rule him out, David. I still think personally, this is going to be very close. It's going to still come down to the wire. Now, you know, he may be behind in the polls tomorrow morning when they start releasing all this stuff again because of this debate. But I don't think it's over yet. I think over the next 3 weeks, anything's possible. Don't you?
Yeah, I think if it was a true, accurate, you know, we talk about the polling and whether it's, you know, fixed or rigged or whatever, you know, who really knows, George? I mean, but I think from what I've seen and the people I talk to who are independent, or even some Democrats, some Republicans, just all across the board, I think if it was a legitimate vote tomorrow, he'd win 70 to 30.
Well, we will see.
But that's how the way I see it.
We will see. David, thanks. And that's why we do our what we call midweek open lines. To give you an opportunity to sound off about things going on this planet. And, of course, Fridays are always our scarier, stranger, mysterious open lines. But this one is a little different. We take your texts and we take your tweets. And what do we have right now, Tom?
George, we go to Tennessee and we have a text from Jordan.
All right.
Jordan says, how do you feel about the moderators of the three presidential debates? And in your opinion, were they fair? And what would you have done differently?
Oh, wow.
Not a question.
First of all, I thought they all have had a difficult time reining in the candidates.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy. They're not easy. If anybody's ever done a debate on the talent end, it's tough, but it was really tough. I mean, Chris Wallace tonight had he had a difficult time trying to rein in the candidates from being quiet and moving on to the next questions and stuff. You know, by and large, you know, Lester Holt, Anderson Cooper, and Chris Wallach,
Can I ask you what I miss? What's that?
I miss Walter Cronkite.
No, that's
who I miss.
Can I ask you a quick question in regards to them getting out of control? And this might be extreme, but why couldn't they give the volume controls of the mics to the moderator.
And just have them shut it off.
Maybe it sounds kind of funny.
Or what you have at events when I host a panel and we give somebody 2 minutes and 10 minutes later they're still talking.
Ding, ding.
You now have a little bell that you hit and bang, it's perfect. We're going to come back in a moment. More open lines this hour and all of next hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Welcome back. We're going to have open lines for you next hour as well. And then our special guest for the evening, Nancy Leader, joins us as we talk about Planet X and the Zetas. And she channels them, too, by the way. So I'm looking forward to that. Might ask them some questions about the upcoming election. You never know. Okay, let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up with first-time caller Chuck, who happens to be in Kentucky. Hi, Chuck. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George. I totally disagree with these other guys saying, I agree with you, George, that Trump doesn't have a chance. But I'll tell you, Trump is the only choice we've got to save America, because Hillary's going to continue down Obama's line. And they're totally against the military about everything. You notice they let all the prisoners out of the prisons and all the terrorists out, but we got our own military in prisons over doing their job in war, and he doesn't mention nothing about getting an appeal for them. I get stuff in the mail all the time that we got our own military in Leavenworth for doing things in the war. They was doing their job, and our government decided they did the wrong thing.
Yep.
And they put them in prison.
Exactly. And things they were ordered to do.
Yes, and that's totally unacceptable, man. And it's like Obama and them are totally against our military. They don't want them talking about their beliefs in the Army. They're trying to take all that away from them. That's their freedom of speech. But why is our government, let me ask this, George, why is our government totally so much against our military that protects our freedom every day and dies every day, guys get killed protecting our freedom?
It's crazy, Chuck. It's crazy. I spent 9 years in the Navy, and my kids know about it, and my friends know about it, and folks on the who listen to this program know about it. But by and large, man, there's no glory in being in the military when you come back. I mean, it's just not there. Now, there are a lot of people like you, Chuck, who are beginning to realize that our military is so critical to the defense of this country, and you appreciate them, and good for you. I know at events that I speak at all around the country, events I put on with Tom, that one of the first things I do is acknowledge our law enforcement and our military, and they stand up and they get applauded, and it is heartwarming. I got to tell you, it is almost teary-eyed to see everybody clapping for these people, and there are a lot of them. I mean, the last event that we did in Asheville, North Carolina, man, a third of that place stood up from men and women who have been in law enforcement or had been in the military or they still are. We need to bring pride back to this country, and that is what's so important. And that is what's been so disappointing, I think, about this election campaign. None of this is geared around greatness, pride in this country, and we need to restore that again, folks. We really do. I don't know if we can go through another 4 years of what we've been going through for the past 16 years. I mean, my gosh, we need pride in this country. We really do. Let's go to Kalen in Anchorage, Alaska on the wild card line. Hey, Kalen, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, George?
Okay, great. How about you?
Not too bad. Just freezing cold, man.
It's starting early, isn't it?
Absolutely. I was not prepared for it. Anyway, I wanted to start off by saying I don't believe that Barack Obama hates our military. I don't believe he just supports our military. I believe he's weak. I really do. You know, I'm 20 years old. You know, I mm-hmm. work full time. I have my own apartment. You know, I'm very hardworking, very all American. I haven't been able to take pride in my own country in over 7 years.
It's not easy. Let me ask you this, Caitlin. Do you respect, regardless of who's in office, do you respect the office of the presidency?
You know, it's really a tough answer to make. I do. I respect the Constitution. I respect the Constitution of the United States. I really do respect the office of the presidency. It's not that I disrespect Obama himself. I disagree with all of his policies. I disagree with his spending.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with the fact that he can't even come out and say that he supports our police force. You know, that's just appalling to me. But you guys talked about pride in country, and I wanted to talk about that for a second.
Sure.
You know, absolutely. We need to take pride in our country. And the last time I took pride in our country was when George W. Bush was president. And you know what? As much mistakes as everyone can say that guy made, he cared about the people of America. He cared about the soldiers. He cared about freedom.
And I think he would have been a better president, Caitlin, had he put his foot down to people like Dick Cheney and said, no, we're not going to do this, or we're not going to do that. I think they got to him too early, and they manipulated him, they lied to him, and consequently, you know, he got pulled in on the mess.
Absolutely. And, you know, I agree. And as far as this election goes right now, you know, this is the first presidential election I get to vote in. I'm 20 years old, like I said. I mean, this is really important to me, as it is to all.
Are you ready? Are you decided? Or are you still on the fence?
I've been on the fence for a long time. Throughout the primary, I'm a conservative. I do vote Republican in Anchorage. I was a Ted Cruz supporter at the beginning of the primary, but
right.
Through the general election, I've come to a conclusion that I'm going to vote with Donald J. Trump.
You are going to do it.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. It's going to be close, Caitlin, let me tell you. Final. Well, no, not final. We've got more going next hour, of course. But, Tom, what do you have for us, tweet or text?
We do, another hour. This is a tweet, and it says, how do you feel about mandatory job training and drug testing for welfare recipients?
I think that, one, drug testing is important and mm-hmm. vital, especially when they're getting money from the taxpayers. And in terms of job training, yes. Now, keep in mind that there are some people, specifically women, who have children who cannot go to work, and they need the support. And I think I would much rather have them stay home with their kids than to go out into the workforce and have those kids either watched by a nanny or, you know, who knows? Not at all.
If you've ever known a mom, that's a job in itself.
That is a full-time job.
Absolutely.
In itself. And I know a lot of single moms who are working full-time and taking care of their kids, and it's not an easy job.
Yeah, no, even if you had drug testing, you wouldn't have to do it in states where it was legal, I guess.
Where what was legal?
Drugs.
There aren't many places where
marijuana, I'm specifically talking about. Yeah.
But no, I think if you're going to do drug testing, you got to do drug testing for everything.
For the whole gamut.
Yep. Okay, thanks. Let's go to Gary in Santa Maria, California. Hey, Gary, go ahead.
Oh, boy. This is an important one. I spoke on the air with you with Malcolm Nance just mm-hmm. the other day, and I've been on the internet chasing it back ever since. The greatest prophet that you ever had on, with regards to this election, what's happening with the sex scandals, with the voting, was of all people, Dan Rather.
He was pretty good, wasn't he?
Listen to his interview that you did. He was right on the money. 2 days later, after that interview, now he was either a prophet or he was laying out a game plan. He was right up front. He said that he works for Mark Cuban in his television network, XS Radio. Mm-hmm. I mean, XS Television. Dan Rather is a superb man. He was beat up. But if you listen to what he said, and then you go to MSNBC, and you see that Malcolm Nance, 2 days after Dan Rather was on MSNBC with Harry Reid on the same day.
Okay.
Malcolm Nance said it took him 7 months to write that book. I can't find. He did 33,000 tweets, and I looked at his Facebook page. There was not one mention of Russia hacking the election as per his book that just popped up in the last 2 months. Now, when I asked him straight up on the air that NSA built the backdoors, he admonished me right away. Now, you don't play footsie with this guy. He is serious as a heart attack.
Oh, yeah, he's a no-joker, that's for sure.
He admonished me. He said that he would not have stated that on the air, but he never addressed my question. He did say he recognized me as old school, just like Lauren Weinstein. It's old school. Lauren has a couple of years on me. I got about 8 years on Nance. TRW was building the systems. I have specialized.
Now don't forget, Gary, nothing wrong with old school.
You got to go back to the old school. You got to know the history. Now, what Nance has done with Harry Reid, in my opinion, and there is ancillary proof, is that he has adopted his tactics in fighting ISIS, and he is the expert at that. Nobody better. He understands the psychology. He speaks the language. But he has adapted the tactics used against ISIS, and he has focused it on the election. He is using Google and Harry Reid. Why Harry Reid? Because Harry Reid is the only senator that never, ever has used an email. And remember, Harry Reid was the only one that did not vote for suing the Arab Emirates on this lawsuit that came up. 99 senators. The one. Harry Reid was the only one that sided with Obama. Now, you got to go back and look and listen to Dan Rather's interview if you want a prophetic game plan as to, he said on the air, Dan Rather said on the air that the sex scandals people don't care about. But what they do care about is these emails being hacked by Russia. This could lead us to World War II. World War III. What the hell am I talking about?
Three. Yeah, you're behind the war here, Gary.
Yeah, you had many times Fred Burton on from Stratford.
Yep.
If you Google, if you WikiLeaks your name and Coast to Coast, you're going to find about 25 references to Coast to Coast and your name specifically in WikiLeaks, because Burton was Stratford, Stratford was hacked. And he gives, Fred Burton gives glowing compliments to Coast, your audience, how sharp your audience is, and why a relationship should be fostered with Coast to Coast. Now, I don't know how Tommy chooses his guests, but when you apply counterintelligence tactics to the election, Donald Trump is not prepared for it. None of the political pundits are prepared for it. They are using AI references, AI programming, and focusing it just like they were attacking ISIS on social media. That's why my Google accounts have been suspended and reinstated. David Seaman's accounts, Mark Dice's accounts, Alex Jones' accounts, you are the focal point. They are using Coast to Coast, your audience, to test what I call the basket of deplorables filter or AI reference. You are important to them. I recommend that you get Mr. Nance and also you know me in names. I spaced on names from that.
That's all right. Go ahead. Tell me.
You're consultant to Trump. The man that's up. Come on, help me.
Roger Stone.
Yeah, if you invite both of those, they are both heavyweights. They are up to the task.
Well, they're all coming back, Gary. They're all coming back, to be sure. And, yeah, there's no question that this program is being listened to by all kinds of people. You're right about that. We've still got some time before the top of the hour, and then we've got more open lines next hour. Barbara in Los Angeles. Hey, Barb, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I thought Hillary did a very good job, and I like what she had to say about women, Bill Clinton notwithstanding, and what she had to say about Social Security. And as a disabled person on Social Security, I would hate to see it privatized because I'd have to go back to the slum I crawled out of 15 years ago before I got my benefits, and I'd hate to go back there.
Well, I bet you would. So who are you voting for?
Hillary.
No questions about it?
Well, I mean, she's not perfect. My first choice was Bernie.
Well, so you're picking, are you picking Hillary because she, in your opinion, is the better of the two?
Right.
If you could write none of the above, would you? I guess you can if you want to.
Well, I don't want to write none of the above. I can't stand Donald Trump.
You want your vote to count.
Right.
Well, it's going to be close, though, Barb. It's going to be close. That I predict. It's not going to be a landslide by any means. These next less than 3 weeks, wait till you see things happen. Wow. Just sit back and watch. Let's go to Syracuse, New York, east of the Rockies. Hi, Steve. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. How are you doing,
okay,
George?
Okay, Stephen.
When I heard that Hail Mary passing, I had to give you a call.
Okay.
Okay, guess what?
What's up?
I just excuse me. I'm sent an email. Do you ever hear of a reincarnation?
Oh yeah.
You ever hear of the numbers lady?
All the time. I interview her.
I'll tell you what. Have her check out my name, my name and my birth date. My name. Can I give him my full name?
No, don't do that because you'll get inundated by people.
Okay, I'll tell you what. This is the email I sent to a Carol Bowman who believes in reincarnation. This is the title. This is the title of her second book, Return from Heaven. And then I put parenthesis, the Holy Family, colon, Mary, comma, Saint Joseph, and Jesus, and comma. Okay, dear Carol Bowman, bless you for the life you are living. I remember how excited you were when you came to believe in reincarnation. When you found the writings of Dr. Ian Stevenson, and we got an Oprah show. And then I could go on, but if you want to ask, I am the reincarnation of the Virgin Mary. That's my opinion. And
you
boy,
are?
Honest, and boy, is it thought out.
Hold on now. You're the reincarnation of the Virgin Mary?
Yes. Now, can you want me to explain how I came about that?
In 30 seconds before the break, yeah.
Okay. Oh, geez, can I come after the break?
We'll see what you tell me now. Go ahead.
Okay, well, right now, yeah. My son told me he's the reincarnation of Yeshua. He passed away. He said he was supposed to be here in 2012. He killed himself on Mother's Day of that year.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
His mother, who I think is the reincarnation of Saint Joseph, she drank and smoked herself to death after she liked being with the old people. After she got fired from her job by the SEIU union, so I was the only one left. And I identified with the Pied Piper of Hamelin, the good one. He saw the injustice that the mayor cheated him, and then the children followed him. My mother, I said I identify with him. I was all excited. My mother said he's evil.
Well, I'll tell you what, Stephen, not going to hold you over because it may be a long time, but email me why you think you're the reincarnated version of the Blessed Virgin Mary.